Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, welcoming Richard Epstein. Professor Richard Epstein at NYU and the University of Chicago teaches law. Importantly, he's a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution writing defining ideas about the Securities and Exchange Commission's climate-related disclosures for investors. Yes, it's odd, but there it is. Richard, a very good evening to you. Gary Gensler, you remind me, is the head of the SEC, and we've waited for some time as to how the SEC believes that it can assist the global opinion of the reduction of greenhouse gases to save the planet from further warming. However, these new rules that you explicate in your article, Defining Ideas, are a challenge for the logic. So we will begin with why these rules believe that they can achieve greenhouse gas reduction. Does Mr. Gensler explain that? Good evening to you.
No, one of the striking things about this entire endeavor is there's no effort whatsoever to use any empirical evidence about either the severity of global warming on the one hand or the possibility that these regulations could lead to a change in conduct, which in turn can lead to a reduction. One of the things to understand about this is my view is that the global warming situation seriously misunderstands the sources of these difficulties, that carbon dioxide is probably a small part to play in it, but there are large global forces that have much greater influence on this. If you think back historically, there was a time not too long ago when Sweden was under a mile of ice, and it turns out now it's not, and it's clearly not the human activities that led to those huge changes. And so whenever you have to look at this stuff, you have to look against the tapestry in which there are enormous changes that are attributable to natural forces. This report doesn't make the slightest effort to understand what those are or whether or not this thing is going to be large or small in comparison with them. So that's the first problem that they have. They don't care about the underlying science and the alternative forces. Secondly, they don't give you any estimate as to what changes this is going to drive. If you take American business, one of the things about it is that there is now a national pastime of serious companies deciding that they have to clean up their supply chains in an effort to reduce at every stage as carbon dioxide emissions into the atmosphere. Even if you think that this is a misguided, overwrought effort, the one thing you have to ask is if people are already doing the right thing without any kinds of disclosure, without any kinds of form, what makes you think that the disclosures are going to change behavior, which is already moving in the direction that Mr. Gensler wants? And I don't see any reason whatsoever to say that this is going to work. And so if you were to try to make an estimate, given what people already know and what they're already doing, as to what the changes in temperatures are going to be, you have to figure out how this is going to alter conduct, and I don't think it will. So I would say that the effect of this on climate protection and so forth is negative. Why negative? Because you're going to have to spend a huge amount in compliance costs, subject to all sorts of private actions and public oversights, with respect to a program which is utterly impossible to sort of make operational on a day-to-day basis. So if you're spending literally billions upon billions of dollars in compliance, that's what you're not spending on various kinds of devices that could actually improve the actual way in which machines and equipment and people start to run. So this is just a giant diversion from all of those sorts of things. And what it does is it's not just the money that the companies spend, it's also the money that the government spends on the enforcement and the money that private parties spend on all the stuff that they have to deal with. And so what you're doing is you're creating a zoo of one kind or another. And as best I can tell, all the effects that are going to come out of this things are negative. And if you try to look at the report, it has pages upon pages of gobbledygook in there, but they don't even have a number about anything of what's going on.
We begin with the SEC asking for information. In other words, the initial phase of this is not to direct you to make a decision about your company. It's to say, what does your company do? What do you believe you do? How do you measure greenhouse gas emissions mitigated or augmented by your company's
That's half of it. The other half of it is they say, and you have to tell us if a catastrophe happens, what are you going to do in response to it?
But that's information gathering. That's not action.
Well, there is no action you can get. The whole point about this is the SEC is organized on the premise that it doesn't dictate subject matter conclusions. What it does is it offers disclosure to firms and to the public so they can make more informed decisions. And so they're not supposed to do anything. They would be clearly beyond their power. In my view, they're probably beyond their power right now because the SEC is not supposed to try to dictate false substantive policy in this case. And yet what it's doing is doing stuff to force people to take information that they don't need, they won't want, and they won't use. And so there's a really serious question as to whether or not this fool's errand is something they can undertake.
All right, let's take an example. In the news right now, for other purposes, U.S. Steel. The famous company of the 19th century and 20th century, now in the news. But U.S. Steel, the investors, do they need to know what U.S. Steel is doing about greenhouse gases in order to make an investment decision? That seems
well, they may have to know it, but they've got the information already from a billion other sources. If you're worried about what's going to happen with respect to climate change, I ask the question, well, what would a change of a half a degree centigrade do? That change isn't going to come out of the small little outputs that these guys make. What they really have to do is to get information about global trends. And that information is already collected by thousands of other individuals and groups, including government agencies and private party. So the stuff that you're adding on is worthless. The thing to understand is whenever you talk about the value of anything, including information, you have to figure out what its marginal benefits are and what its marginal costs are. We know the costs are absolutely enormous on this thing. You can figure it out by just looking at the requirement. Trying to figure out what the benefits are, you can't do it because you have to say, given everything we already know, what is this information going to supply us with? And the answer is you can't say it. You look at the way in which they describe what they want you to have. Tell us about what material consequences are likely to happen in connection with any of your various sorts of activity. The word material consequences and material impact have been litigated forever in the private context. And the thought that you can have thousands of firms making really good judgments about this on thousands of different projects is just a fool's errand. Most of these major companies are international. They have many divisions. They all work in many different lines. The novel technologies that come online are probably dozens in each year. How often are you supposed to do this report? Anything you write today will be obsolete in 6 months, assuming that it had any value in the first
place. I want to read from the press release that you cite in your article. The final rules reflect the commission's efforts to respond to investors' demand for more consistent, comparable, and reliable information about the financial effects of climate-related risks. Demand? The SEC's rationalization is suddenly there are investor classes outside the door pounding away saying we demand information? That seems far-fetched.
It's not only that. He doesn't say demand of who. There are many people who are kind of climate-type investors, the Black Light types, will go to individual firms and say, what are you doing? They'll accept an answer. Nobody seems to demand that the SEC tell people how to respond to private requests. So what they do is they never start saying who is making the demand and whom are they making the demand to. It's just sort of this isolated kind of intellectual piffle in which they specialize all the time. I mean, one of the things to know is, and you study this, supply chains have a lot of looseness in them. And if you can tighten up the tunnel, get rid of the delays, the redundancies, the confusions, you can save a lot of money. And so in many ways, when these companies are trying to improve their supply chains operations, they're trying to reduce their cost, and they'll do that voluntarily, as well as to reduce the level of externalities. Another simple way of doing this is suppose you have steam, which is an output of your industrial processes, and it goes into the atmosphere. It's of no use to you. If you could find a way to make sure that something which is a waste product in one cycle could be an input in another cycle, what you do is you control externalities on the one hand and you improve your productivity on the other. Well, you don't need to have the SEC to tell you to do that. What you need the SEC to do is to step out of the way so you don't get into problems where all your expert people are now answering depositions about why they did this 5 years ago or that the other day. But they don't even try to understand the way in which the private market works. accounts. Mr. Gensler is essentially an institutional illiterate. And what he does is he comes into these places, writes these huge studies and reports, and any relevant question that you want to get an answer to, he doesn't answer. I have read through some of these early reports. They are illiterate, they're unresponsive, they're kind of silly in everything that they say. And even trying to attach a number to anything that you're trying to do is simply beyond their ken. So this is a con job from start to finish. Now, why are they doing this? Well, there are a large number of environmentalists who have the following very naive views in the world. They say, you know, we want to make sure that people understand the consequences of using fossil fuels so they won't use them at all. Well, there's a nice column by Bjorn Lomborg yesterday in the Wall Street Journal. Said, you want to find a way to kill 5 billion people within a year. What you do is just stop all use of petroleum products for anything you make. Because petroleum is not only the basis of fossil fuels, it's the basis of fertilizer, the basis of medicine. There are probably 10,000 products I don't know about that are made by the use of these things. And if you start to say, well, when you get this thing up, you have to get disclosures. You're not supposed to disclose anything positive. Like, you know, we managed to save thousands of people by giving new antibiotics, which we couldn't have done without these kinds of activities. You're not allowed to say that in these things. So what they want to do essentially is to distort information by making you emphasize all the bad things and telling you to suppress all the good information that you have. Well, that's not the way you make decisions. If a company has one deficit and 10 different advantages, you subtract one from 10 and get 9 pluses. You don't look at the one and forget all the other stuff. And what he's trying to do is to force people into taking information that is so biased in one direction that they will ignore any of the good that these companies try to do. One of the things that I can recall, in many cases, I talk to industry guys who actually know what they're doing in their business, and this is what they will tell me. 10 years ago, we did it this way. Now we do it this other way, and it turns out we have huge benefits. So you remember I had this cancer, and I talked to the doctor who took care of me, and he said he was able to snip out the tumor without taking out the kidney. What did I ask him? I said, could you have done this 10 years ago with this technique? He said, no, we didn't have the technique. And so what I want to do is to make sure that we get innovation. I don't want to make sure that what we do is put together a bunch of senseless reams of paper, which are not going to answer anything. The American business community is the most dynamic in the world. Mr. Gensler is one of the most retrograde, uninformed individuals in the world. He is not fit to serve in any of the corporations that he's trying to regulate. And now, with the blessing of the President of the United States and John Kerry, another wholly uninformed person, what we do is we see these sort of quixotic efforts. And I mean, this is going to be challenged in court by a large numbers of people. And it depends which judges you get. If you get a Biden judge, you're going to lose.
And the regulation demands will accelerate over the years. So we're anticipating a whole new industry of greenhouse gas emissions at all companies in America, including small businesses, Richard. I mentioned that because I run a small business, increasingly now I see more and more requests, demands, you must do this, from the Department of Commerce. So the regulatory demands are going up even for small businesses.
Yes, what happens is when they decide to put into place government grants, they decide to condition the grants on things they shouldn't do. So on the one hand, you have to have mandatory child care for your children or your employees. Then you have to have these emissions control programs. And the doctrine of unconstitutional conditions is designed to make sure that you don't attach to grants conditions that undermine their purposes.
No, I'm just talking about, you know, emails come to me because I follow one email saying this is what I do. And then another email comes asking for more information. In other words, there's a trend here that is across all departments, not just the SEC. It's to demand information. I don't know what they're going to do with it, except for they're going to demand more information.
Well, it's, by the way, when you talk about global warming, it's not just the SEC with its silly regulation. The direct control by the environmental protection agencies and the growth industry and public nuisance sorts is doing exactly the same thing. We have, under the blessing of a president of the United States, this huge effort to think that what we're supposed to reduce is litigation rather than new goods and services. We are in a very bad state with respect to this. I can't think of a single area that I'm aware of, going from national defense to environmental protection to banking or insurance regulation, whatever you want to name, where we have anybody in power has the slightest sense of what's going on.
All right, let's go to one that's in the news then. TikTok. I look forward to this because the Chinese government has spoken up. Richard Epstein writing and defining ideas about the SEC's climate change regulation rules, demands, embraces, mysteries. We turn now to more mystery with TikTok, which the only thing I know about it is that it's good for pictures of kittens. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.